Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're here and interested in a study of God's Word. This morning I want to talk about Paul converting souls to Christ. And my question to you this morning, friends, is if you and I had been living in the first century, and the Apostle Paul would have come to Clarksville, for example, and brought the gospel for the first time, would you have been a convert to Christ through the work of the Apostle Paul? Would you have listened to him? Would you have studied with him? Would you have let him talk with you about the Word of God and allow yourselves to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Paul converted many people to Christ in his lifetime. And would you and I have been among those converts? Paul wrote several books in the New Testament. Paul established several churches in the New Testament. He traveled many, many miles. He labored in very difficult circumstances. And many souls were brought to Christ through his efforts. Would you and I have been among those number? I want to talk about some of the keys that Paul used, some of the principles and some of the steps that he took to convert souls. And I want you to ask yourself, would I have been among those New Testament Christians? If you're not a New Testament Christian, let me help you to become that through obedience to the gospel. Let's get together and make that happen. I'm not the Apostle Paul by any means, but I still have the gospel that he taught, and it still saves men and women today. If I'm already a Christian, a New Testament Christian, we can learn from Paul in this lesson in using these five keys to talk with others about the gospel. But if we're not a Christian, we can be on the receiving end of these principles that Paul used. And I hope that that would encourage you this morning to study more and be baptized into Christ. I'm going to use Acts chapter 17 to look at these five keys this morning. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, we're going to look at Paul in Thessalonica and then later in Berea and look at some principles that he used throughout his preaching trips to convert people to Christ. Luke records in Acts chapter 17 and verse 1, he picks up in the middle of Paul's second preaching trip from Antioch. And Luke records, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures, opening and alleging that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I said I proclaim unto you, is the Christ." Let's look at what Paul did. In Acts 17 and verse 2, Luke writes that Paul, as his custom was. A custom is a habit. What kind of habits do you have, friends? And for those who are New Testament Christians, do you have a habit of trying to save the lost? Do I have a habit of talking with others to save them? But Paul had a really good habit. Some people have bad habits today. Paul had some good habits. And we're going to see what those were today. First of all, we find that often when Paul was traveling and preaching, number one, he would find people who were close to God. They were close to being in a position to obey the gospel. We find that Paul went into the synagogue. This is where Jews were, of course. Jews were God-believing individuals. And sometimes there were Gentiles there who had converted to Judaism. Sometimes they're called God-fearing or proselytes. And they would be in the synagogue worshiping God. And so Paul would start with common ground. They both believed in God and the Old Testament scriptures. One habit or custom or principle that Paul often used was to find people who are close to God and start with common ground. He did that right after his conversion, actually, in Damascus. He immediately went into the synagogue there in Acts chapter 9 and proclaimed the Christ. He was in the synagogue in Antioch. He's in the synagogue here in Acts chapter 17. We find him doing the same thing in the synagogue in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 16, just one chapter earlier from where we are today, he found some women worshiping God down by the riverside, Lydia and others who were there. They were already God worshipers, and he sought out these people. So number one, he found people that believed in God, and he had common ground with them. Now, my question, friends, is, are you already a God believer? And maybe you've read the Bible in the past, and that's a great thing. You're on your way to becoming a New Testament Christian. Maybe you're a member of a denomination where some of the things that you do are found in the New Testament. Some are not found there. And you're close. You have to make some small changes here and there. You might have to make a change to what you did to be saved, or you might have to make a change with regard to how you worship. But you're close. You're close. And that's a great thing. And Paul would seek out people like that, and often he would have converts from those kind of people. In fact, a church is going to be established here in Thessalonica. Paul will later write two of the New Testament books to them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So, if you're close, that is a great thing. Can you and I get together and study and learn more and see what it takes to become a New Testament Christian? It reminds me of when Jesus was talking to one of the scribes, and Jesus said, "You are not far from the kingdom." You are not far from the kingdom. He knew a lot about the Old Testament scriptures, and he knew what would be considered the greatest commandment: love God. And a second likened to this: love your neighbor. And this man said to Jesus, "That is right. We need to love God and we need to love our neighbor." And Jesus, when he heard him answer, he said, "You're not far from the kingdom." He was a religious man. He had a good start. He needed to finish that off. And so, if you are a God believer, a God fearer, that is a great thing. Let's get together and finish that. Let's finish that process. You're close. Let's finish that process. And as a Christian who is seeking others to become Christians, start with those who are close to God. That's a great thing. The second thing that we find in this reading is that he went into the Sabbath day and he reasoned from the scriptures. He reasoned from the scriptures, opening and alleging. Some versions say explaining and proving that Jesus was the Christ. Another habit that Paul made was he pointed people to Scripture. And that's a very good thing. It's not about what we think and what we feel and our opinions and human philosophies and man-made doctrines, but what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say? In fact, when he left Thessalonica due to some persecution, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, he went to Berea. And in verse 11, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, also of the Greek women of honorable estate and of men, not a few." So it was his custom to go to the scriptures. And in Acts 18:4, he reasoned in the synagogue with the same approach, starting with the Word of God. So number two, he would point people to Scripture. This is very important because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Also, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So the New Testament Scriptures for us today, that's what we point people to. And that's a very important practice. James writes in James 1:21, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Well, that word for saving today is not the Old Testament Scriptures, but the New Testament Scriptures. And so if you and I were to sit down and study, we would have an open mind, hopefully, and an open Bible. And I would point you to the Scriptures, what you need to do to become a child of God. It wouldn't be about my opinions or what I think or what I feel. What a great practice that was. Paul loved the truth, and he looked for people who loved the truth. He started with the Scriptures. Do you know, friends, that all you need to be saved is the New Testament gospel? And people who love that truth, they will be saved when they obey that. Paul talks about obedience of faith right at the very beginning of the book of Romans and at the end of the book of Romans. When we hear those scriptures and we have faith in those scriptures, we get up and we obey that. Romans 1:5. We have an obedience of faith. And that faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. It was really Paul's habit of doing this. Paul loved the word of God. He wanted to proclaim the word of God. And he would always take people back. In his day, it was the Old Testament scriptures that they had. This, of course, is before the New Testament is complete. It's in the process of being revealed, but it's not complete yet. And so Paul is pointing people, especially these Jews in a synagogue, to the Old Testament scriptures that they would have known. Later, in Acts chapter 20, when Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, he says, Acts 20 and verse 20, how that I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit testifies unto me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, so that I may accomplish my course in ministry, which I receive from the Lord, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, you know that I go among you, preaching the kingdom. You shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. So Paul would start with those New Testaments, those Old Testament scriptures in the synagogue to do that. Point people to Scripture. He reasoned from the Scriptures. Can we get together and reason from the Scriptures? And he explained, he used the Scriptures to explain the truth. He used the Scriptures to prove certain points that Jesus was the Christ. For example, going back to Micah 5:1, showing that Jesus came from Bethlehem, or Isaiah 53, pointing out that the Messiah would die for the sins of the world, and a host of other Old Testament passages would explain and prove that Jesus was the Christ. So that's the second thing that Paul did. A third thing that Paul did when he was converting souls, and you have to ask yourself, would you have rejected Paul or would you have accepted what he said? A third key to Paul's converting souls was that he looked for people to teach right after he was rejected. He didn't allow rejection to keep him from preaching the Word of God to others. When he was rejected, he didn't just quit. He would immediately look for others. This was common. So let's keep reading in Acts chapter 17. And some of them were persuaded and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So converts were made to Christ, and a church was formed there. But read verse 5. But the Jews, being moved with jealousy, they didn't want to obey Jesus Christ, took unto them certain vile fellows of the rabble, and gathering a crowd, set the city on an uproar, and assaulting the house of Jason, they sought to bring them forth to the people. And when they found them not, they dragged Jason and certain brethren before the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, and are come here also, whom Jason has received, and these all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar." Of course, this was a lie. They were not breaking any Roman laws, saying that there is another king, Jesus. Paul was preaching Jesus as a king, but not an earthly king who was trying to engage in some sort of a revolt or rebellion or insurrection against Caesar. He was a spiritual king over a spiritual kingdom, and that's what Paul was preaching. So we might say it was a half-truth. And they troubled the multitude and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. But the brethren, you see, there's brethren now. There's a church that is formed. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who, when they were come there, went into the synagogue of the Jews. And they repeated the same thing that they had done in Thessalonica. So they just keep going on. Paul did not allow himself to become discouraged and quit. And we can't do that today. We've got to keep preaching the gospel to others. But friends, would you have rejected what Paul said? Or would you have followed Paul and obeyed the gospel and become one of the brethren? What would it have been for you? But Paul continued on. He faced rejection immediately in Damascus after his conversion, but he left Damascus and went other places to preach. When he was in Antioch, he faced rejection there, and he shook the dust off of his feet. When he was in Iconium and Lystra, he was stoned on one occasion and left for dead. But he went on and continued traveling. In Acts chapter 18, when he was rejected in Corinth and the people in the synagogue didn't want him, he went to the house of Titus Justus, who was next to the synagogue. He just went right next door, Acts 18, verse 7 and 8. And as a result, there are believers. They obey the gospel and they become Christians. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed with all of his house. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Notice it's not faith only, but hearing, believed, because faith comes by hearing, and after believing, they were baptized. This is exactly what Jesus said in Mark 16:16, when he told his disciples to go into all the world and all creation and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that believeth shall be saved, and then later is baptized. That's what many denominational people say, but Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, that's exactly what we find here in Acts 18 and verse 8. But notice that Paul, when he was rejected in the synagogue, he just went right next door, and he found some who would listen to the gospel. Will you listen to the gospel today, friends? Will you hear the gospel and repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Acts 2:38. Will you do that? But if we preach today, and I hope you will, and let's get together and let's make that happen. But if someone today is rejected, we just keep pressing on, and that's what's important to do. Let's look at another key principle that Paul used in converting souls, another habit or custom that he made. Number four, Paul looked for people of any background to preach to. Here in Acts chapter 17, we find that when Paul went on to Berea, again, he started in the synagogue, as his custom was. But in Acts 17:12, many therefore believed, also of the Greek women of honorable estate, and of men, not a few. In other words, many. It didn't matter whether they were Jews or Greeks. Paul did not limit his teaching opportunities to those of a certain color or a certain race or a certain socioeconomic background or a certain educational background. He just talked to anybody that he could. And I want to do that today in Clarksville and Montgomery County and wherever this message is being heard. It doesn't matter who you are and where you've come from. Let's sit down and study the Bible together. Paul wanted all people to be saved. And when you look at his work in the book of Acts, you find him talking to Jews and Greeks. You find him talking in house to house and public places. It doesn't matter. He'll talk to the educated. He'll talk to those who've never been to school. It didn't matter. And that's a great opportunity. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And so, friends, we need to understand that the gospel is for all. On another occasion, when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, when Peter begins to preach to Cornelius, who's a Gentile, he's not a Jew. Peter is a Jew, and Peter is learning that I need to take the gospel even to the Gentiles. Acts 10:34, Peter says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him." So anywhere here in America, anywhere in Canada and Mexico and around the world, the gospel needs to go, and we need to try to reach as many people as we can. Will you be a part of that group who fears God and works righteousness? In other words, does what the gospel says to do in order to be saved. Jesus came to die on a cross. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, 13 through 16, to make everyone one new man, and so making peace, and might reconcile them both, Jews and Gentiles, in one body unto God through the cross. He came and preached peace to you that were afar off, Gentiles, and peace to them that were near. For through him we both, Jews and Gentiles, have our access in one spirit unto the Father, making everyone one, men and women. Doesn't matter our color, doesn't matter our race, doesn't matter anything about that. In every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is acceptable to him. Friend, the gospel is for you. If you're hearing this and you're understanding it and you're old enough to know what we're talking about and to sit down and even study more, the gospel is for you. And then last of all, the last principle that or key or custom or habit that Paul would often make is that he would count on others to help him. Paul was mission-minded. He was constantly on the move, preaching the gospel. And when he would move on, he would rely upon others to help him once he left. They would stay behind, and they would help continue preaching the gospel, and they would also keep watering that seed that had been planted when he was there. So come back with me now to the end of that section there in Acts 17:13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was proclaimed of Paul at Berea also, they came there likewise, stirring up and troubling the multitudes, just like they had done back in Thessalonica. And then immediately the brethren sent forth Paul to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy abode there still. They stayed behind to help this new congregation get strengthened in the faith. And verse 15, Luke says that Paul went on to Athens. And they would come, Timothy and Silas would come to him later in Corinth. So, Paul would rely upon others. Paul worked together with his co-workers. So many times, Paul talks about his co-workers. Romans 16:3, various co-workers. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, Paul worked together with Apollos. Philippians 4:3, Colossians 4:11, Philemon 24. He's always talking about his fellow workers, his fellow soldiers. As a Christian who's trying to reach the lost today, keep that in mind. We can work together with other members who have different talents. All you have to do is open up your home and I can come teach in your home. Get the prospect. Make the invite. If you're not comfortable doing the actual lesson, I'd be glad to help you with that. But let's work together to reach the lost. And friend, if you're not a New Testament Christian, would you allow me to come? I'm trying to continue on the work of the Apostle Paul. Other faithful Christians are. And Paul's dead and gone. But other faithful Christians try to work with him, as it were, be a fellow worker in the kingdom and keep that gospel being preached. And will you let me come and talk with you about the Word of God? So some great lessons. There are so many who need to come to Christ today, and we can learn from the Apostle Paul. I believe there are still good and honest hearts who want to be saved. We need to get out there and teach them. Friend, if you're close, if you're already a believer in God, let's get together and study. Number two, I will appeal to the Scriptures just like Paul did, not opinions or philosophies. I will point you to the Scriptures. We will reason from the Scriptures. And you'll have an opportunity to accept it. I would hope that you wouldn't reject it, but would accept it. And this invitation that you're hearing today is open for anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. The gospel is for all. And let me come and help and do what we can to be right with God. What a great keys to converting souls. You can't improve upon the work of the Apostle Paul. And when we model that in our life today, we'll have the same success. Thank you for being with us on the program, and please contact me if I can come and study and baptize you into Christ. Thank you and have a good day.